Productions presents All Is Forgiven, an episodic musical podcast written by Serene Dominic.
Hello, this is Serene Dominic, welcoming you to the part two of our bonus episode, giving an overview of the music of All Is Forgiven. As a little bit behind the scenes, you can hear the sound of the fan over my head, which is kind of wiggling around like something out of an Edgar Allan Poe torture pit in the pendulum sequence. I have to turn, anytime I do any recording, I have to turn off the fan. Sometimes I leave the air conditioning on, but right now, this has been a brutal 2 weeks of just over 110 on average every day. But anyway, I'm going to turn off. I'll turn off the fan or put it on a lower setting. Yeah, there. That's much less torturous for all concerned. Last time when we spoke with musical director Steve Aceta, I had intimated that originally All Is Forgiven was going to be a rap album, complete rap. I mean, it was more like an exercise than anything else for me to do a complete rap album. I mean, I've done little excerpted raps here and there, and I've been told I have a good flow. Sounds like something your urologist would tell you. Anyway, so I'm explaining to Steve that this, the first song owes its existence to the original rap album, which was going to be a guy, ex-mobster in the witness protection program, forced to live in Arizona. And when I wrote these songs, I didn't know where the plot was going to go. So I was just kind of just writing songs where I thought it was going to go. And this one was going to be where he accumulates large amounts of money. But anyway, that doesn't matter because I changed all the words. Anyway, without any more spoiler alerts, let me take you back to my conversation with musical director Steve Aceta. And as we overview the music of your favorite episodic musical podcast, All Is Forgiven. The next thing is Up in Your Attic, which is sung by Jubes. That's his first appearance as Jemali, the alien. And
not just any alien. An alien cicada.
Oh, yeah, but spoiler alert, yeah. Well, anyone who's listening to this has already heard it, yeah. He's like a time-traveling cicada. And this song, actually, in the rap album, this when I was trying to figure out a story, this was actually used to be called Honey, Where Did You Get All That Money? And it was like the wife discovering that the mobster did come back into selling drugs, yeah, or something. And that sounded too much like Breaking Bad, so I didn't do it. Because you remember, I guess, Skyler finds
a skid full of $100 bills.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless I did Breaking Bad the musical, which, you know, I'm sure someone will do it at one point.
Why not us?
Why not us? Because we already did, well, this is Up in the Attic. I'm very proud of this one. I think it sounds very like something off a Thriller. And I introduce a skipping CD. I use that as an effect. I don't know if you could hear it at a certain point. There's like a...
Well, that would be... Then people would be questioning the CDs that they actually had there. So
yeah, well, yeah. See, that's the beauty of having a CD, having this on compact disc from Onus Records. You can hear that thing and think your copy's defective. But it writes itself very quickly, you know.
We talk about this, but there was actually a slogan about how, you know, it's better on vinyl, or it's better, you know what I mean? There was actually, we joked about it. You made jokes about it for the Tournament Torch show. But actually, I recall that there was a marketing campaign, and it had to do with how it sounds better on whatever, a medium. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I could really tolerate, I mean, when you have vinyl and a record is skipping, it doesn't, it's not like somebody's taking a death ray and obliterating your favorite record.
No.
I mean, it's like, it's much worse when a CD is skipping. I had a CD, I still have a copy of this. Song Reunited by Peaches and Herb.
Yeah.
I had a CD of Reunited by Peaches and Herb, and it sounds like literally like, I couldn't be, and it sounds like both Peaches and Herb are being melted by a heat ray, you know, and then when it writes itself, it's just like, I can't leave you, honey, I can't play. Well, so anyway, that's a stylistic departure. Having a skipping record. And there's a lot of like heavy like breathing, like, because you know at that point I imagine the aliens had helmets on and they went wrong, but we didn't make them talk like that through the whole play.
How prescient, you know? It's like having a mask on when you're trying to talk during these interviews.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, we're doing these interviews with masks on, 6 feet apart. This is almost the second to last rap track, and this was also originally from the Lost Rap album. And Dana Donovan, who played Shauna Bella, great actress. She's a Shakespearean actress. And she did the role, but she didn't really want to do the singing. Well, she had strep throat, and then so you know, basically, I said, you know, we'll get some, that's when we got Jude to do the vocal parts for her, but Jude didn't want to do the rap either. So I said, well, Dana, why don't you try it? And you know, and so I phonetically taught her how to do it. I phonetically taught a black woman how to rap, and you know, not very well. We did it, and because the pandemic was
upon us, it's on bearing down on us.
Yeah, it had been bearing down on us. I recorded her rap over the phone, so that's why it sounds great though. I think the phone thing.
It's
works.
It's a very good effect. Yeah.
Shoppers, if you see helicopters, this ain't the place you wanna be now. Here cooking crystal in the shape of a cactus, so tourists gonna fix them to the fridge with a magnet. Crying coyotes with eyes of peyotes, it's a dopey idea, but you tell it to your friends, the Arizonians.
Was like, okay, that's the song that's done in the crystal meth lab, you know. All right, next is French Provincial Kick, and that's one of the one of only a couple of situational songs that are written specifically for a scene, you know. Vic takes Chanabella to his house, and it's full of French provincial furniture, so I thought it would be cool to have a song about French provincial furniture. So there you have it. And I think it's actually kind of psychedelic sounding to me. It sounds like something that would have been on the first Bee Gees album. or like, you know, kind of British psychedelia. Actually, Jay and the Americans had a song called French Provincial that was a psychedelic song, you know. But it was like one of those. It wasn't so much psychedelic as a social commentary. Like, she's living in her French Provincial world or something like that.
Wow.
It's, yeah. It's
pretty. Were they from Long Island?
I think so. Long Island.
Long Island?
Yeah. I really like the song. Oh, and you, your boy, Johnny Mathis, I took the soprano off of one of Johnny Mathis's records. You know how all the 1950s Johnny Mathis records. It has this. Everything from Columbia had this crazy soprano.
Anything
voice.
That Mitch Miller produced.
Yeah, had
this one woman that sang like a theremin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I took that off of a job.
I wonder who she was, and you know, she must have been somebody's mother or somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Showing up back at home, somebody's wife.
Yeah. Yeah, could you imagine her calling the kids for school?
I'm sure that all the dogs in the neighborhood
knew you could pick her up.
You picked up her ears.
Yeah, so I should say that, you know, my parents had a lot of French provincial furniture, and I kind of wanted to.
But they didn't use the plastic seat covers, did they?
We had plastic seat covers that we liberated. I used to sleep on a Castro convertible that opened up, and that had
Philomena Castro.
Yeah, that had yeah. Only we'll know who Philomena Castro is. But we used to lift the plastic, and then I used to pull the bed out every night. And I think after a while, we liberated the couch.
Yeah.
From the plastic, but it was literally the living room that nobody was supposed to be in, you know.
My grandmother.
It was just for company. But then we got the big Magnavox stereo console, just like the same one as depicted on the cover of the CD. And we would be like, oh, well, we want to watch, you know, TV on the color TV. Because that was when shows still had in color. It was a big deal, you know.
The Peacock.
Yeah, the NBC Peacock. I remember seeing the NBC Peacock. I'm like, whoa, wow. And the Smothers Brothers red jackets and, you know, the blue...
The stained glass window thing.
Yeah. And the blue smoke from Gunsmoke and Bonanza. Yeah. Color TV was really exciting. The first week that we had it, I remember I begged my mom, please let me watch Dark Shadows on the...
So what year was that?
That would have been 67.
So, I mean, previous to that, the whole world was in black and white.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, for years, like, we'd see The Wizard of Oz in black and white. So when she'd land in Oz, it made no impact. It was just like, okay. It was a pretty
meh. I told you my favorite story. My neighbor's father used to say to him every year when it would be on television, Mark, now it's in color. And Mark would look at him like, what are you talking about? It's, you know, it's in black and white. It's in black and white television. He goes, Mark, now it's in color. Because when the scene would change, he remembered it from the movie theater.
Yeah. So,
you know. Now it's in color.
Now it's in color.
Mom was on a French provincial kick. Dad was ass, Roman Catholic. Don't it feel like we're floating in heaven? Don't it feel
Okay, the next song is the Sunny Slope Historic Society, sung by Jews. And okay, so now I gotta preface this by saying that there's a Sunny Slope Historical Society that's on Hatcher, right across from the Fry's, and it's always sparked my curiosity, but I always heard things about it, like there were two women in there, and if you go in there, they'll just talk you to death, and it's never open. The times where I've worked up the pluck to go in there, there's nobody in there to let you in, and I don't think they have anything about the meat puppets in the Sunny Slope Historical Society.
They might.
We don't know. I just imagine it's a whole history of tuberculosis sufferers and you know, famous people who had tuberculosis. Yeah, it's like, so that's Camille. That's the whole premise, is that they put the
Van Morrison.
Yeah. Oh,
TV Jimmy sheets. Rogers. Jimmy Rogers.
Van Morrison didn't have tuberculosis. He did that song TB Sheets, which is really pitiful. Like he's right. Leaving this girl and she's got tuberculosis and he's just like, you know.
Right.
Saying goodbye to her. It's really terrible. I mean, it's good, but it's you know, a bit painful.
I know someone carried off by tuberculosis.
Carried off?
Yeah.
You mean like died?
Yeah.
Well, carried off. That sounds so like
Victorian.
Gallant. Yeah, so gallant. It's like carried off. Like she rode into the sunset with tuberculosis.
He was carried off by tuberculosis.
Yeah. Well, so that song is like a march. I mean, if I were to pick a song that it's kind of, I think it was based on, was like Shape of Things by the Yardbirds. Yeah. It's like, dun, 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 you know, it kind of marches along. And then it has that tempo
change. It's a quasi bolero kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and then it has a tempo change, just like Shape of Things. Like, come tomorrow.
By a giant nondescript tree, got a front desk phone that never needs building. The Sunny Slope Historic Society. Witness Jehovah, women skip over the premises. Nary a street light, a handicap ramp to add emphasis. Back of the Sunny Slope Historic Society. But the greetings of MTV sufferer never afforded notoriety. People imagine there's mouth breathers there and they stay away. Our disparate website has not had a bite since the first day. Stampedes of my groceries. Tuberculosis or asthma sufferers couldn't care a bit about their ancestry. The thing is contagious to gaze at displays in the Sunny Slope Historic Society. Doors avoided, no one saw it, but loaded to the local friends. But we can employ it as a decoy office. It's simply the across the street, people stampede to buy groceries.
next is Take Some Strength for Me, another song, the last of the songs sung by Jude. That's such a pretty song.
It's a nice song. It is a pretty song.
Yeah.
And she does a nice job.
Yeah, well, she does a great job. She makes it sound so sweet. I remember writing that while I was working it. And it was a slow day, so I was like taking I do tech support on the phone at home, and I was kind of, there were just very few calls, so I actually had a guitar strapped on, and that's when I wrote that song. I was thinking of Smile, a Little Smile for Me, Rosemary. That was the main inspiration for that. And that's actually the only love song in the whole thing, you know. There's like a couple of love songs in Dark Lullaby, but that's the only love song in this one. Next is okay. We're down to the final three songs. The last of Jude's songs, "The Territory," which is the pretty much where he goes through the whole explanation. The whole song is like maybe 3 minutes of exposition where he explains how, as a time traveling cicada, he came to arrive at this place, and I on the rap album. Oh God, I had a song called "The Territory," which was just, it was just me trying to rap about like a gangland slaying that happened down my block, you know. and it was just really horrible. And I was just like, that song isn't even gonna. I don't even think I want it in the, to do anything with it. That's probably the point. The trying to write lyrics to that one was probably the point where I decided that the rap album wasn't gonna go anywhere. But I did write the rap for this, where it, the 3 minutes of exposition. So I'm pretty happy with that. And of course, Jube does a masterful job of infusing it with the necessary
gravitas.
Gravitas, yes. He's got that deep voice.
I might as well confess, I'm not an alien from another galaxy. It's a malady that makes me perpetrate this fallacy. For if the truth I cleverly conceal, would it be revealed, you would know that I'm not a space invader, just a time traveling cicada, who once had it made, was always getting laid, but now knows the shame of seeing our dicks turn to vapor. Wishing we were hung like a first grader, when fungal hallucinogens spread through our species like pestilence. After the war of 2312, our genitals fell off from impotency spreading spores. I can't face extinction when our female population saw no more getting it up the butthole. Far from V-Raw, we were Steeraw, good for nothing but a cuddle and a dry hump. They defected and we hopped off in a pack, musing on how to get our genitals back as we sat in storage vats and wax on the lack of a ball sack. With nowhere else to go and nothing else to do, we learned to read and work the abandoned VCRs no one claimed to need, and we watch History Channel documentaries about Cosa Nostra. Our confidence is bolstered, and with the ability to time travel, we would become the new mafia and grow a pair, as it were. But instead of balls, we grew legs, and we learned that we could tilt people's heads. But now if we were to travel back to our time, we'd find our womenkind no longer needed males. For as we learned about the mafia, they studied lesbianism in the Lilifair, and they must have watched that movie where the Venus women in tacky mylar swimwear enslaved men into reproducing morning, noon, and night. So we're a walking, talking sperm bank with nowhere to go, and oppressing humans isn't the kick we thought it would be. So you tell me how a cicada can grow a new dick. I lost my only friend, I feel nauseous and sick. I wanna plant roots, fuck, and no longer roam. But like Bela Lugosi, I have no home. I have no home. When did the magic turn to misdirection? When did the magic turn to misdirection?
All right, and then the final two. Okay, so then the title track, All Is Forgiven, this was going to be a reunion of another band that I had with some of the same guys. The drummer from the Semi Detached, Pete Walker, the guy who was the engineer, who was the guitarist, and I was gonna also Peter Gilstrap, the guy who narrates the All Is Forgiven. I was trying to get him to do bass, and because we had a band called Huge Spaceship, and Huge Spaceship only had 10 songs, and we would come out. And we'd play in these white jumpsuits. We had 4 white jumpsuits that had the words Jesus, the names Jesus stitched on it, So I thought that was our concept for Huge Spaceship. And we had a 10 song set, and that's all we were gonna do, all the only songs we were gonna learn. And Pete couldn't figure out how to record a bass track from his place, so we wound up just going with the scratch bass track. So and this song, I was kind of like a musical tribute to The Clash, or I was trying to do something like The Clash. So I know you don't like The Clash very much.
Why?
But they were like, yeah, they were, I mean, to me, they were like the most exciting band. And when you saw them on stage, they were on fire. And then I saw them when they were like at their prime, and then I saw them when they were falling apart, and that was kind of sad because they didn't have a tenth of the passion, you know, that they could have had. Kind of just like a coda to the whole album. It just sounds like a song that you would do under rolling under credits, you know. And I did write a script called Masters of Woe, and then I always had that this song in mind to be.
This is Come Ye Masters of Woe. Is this the one?
No, you could tell that this is the part of the album where I just had to work independent of you because we were running out of time. I mean, we did it though. We put together this album. I think it's
right. A
really strong album.
Yeah. Masters of War was just kind of like this guy who's just, you know, been beaten down, you know, punched, you know, like it's just like written from the viewpoint of a guy that's like kind of in the ring and just getting all bloodied, and he's like, you know, when is anybody gonna stop this, you know, fight? And you know, that's
when there's a vaccine, I guess.
When there's a vaccine, yeah. So yeah, so now we're doing this new show, and you know, trying to survive during this pandemic. I don't know.
We're already underway.
Yeah, we haven't, you know, we've recorded only some of the actors. I don't know. You know, it might take, I think this will probably take a lot longer than the other one, just because it's more work intensive. Although it's not so work intensive for me, because all the music's already written. But to me, that's the most fun part. And now I have to just kind of put things together. So I think you're going to like it, and I hope you like All Is Forgiven. Since we finished it, I haven't gone back to it, but I think I might relive the experience, experience All Is Forgiven again.
How can they experience?
Okay, well, they can. I'm glad you asked. Well, they could experience it. The All Is Forgiven podcast is from the same place where you got this podcast. Onus Playhouse, All Is Forgiven. All Is Forgiven is season one of Onus Playhouse. You can get it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, all the places where you get fine and not so fine podcasts. So I hope you enjoyed this little wrap-up. Maybe it'll make you appreciate the soundtrack album a little bit more. And
hey, what is Onus recording artist Human Torch? What's he doing these days?
Oh, yeah. So the Human Torch is doing a Human Torch floor show, live casting from Serene Dominic, Facebook / Serene Dominic, every Thursday at 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, and songs from All Is Forgiven, songs from Dark Lullaby, songs from my whole musical career, which can be best described as what musical career?
And Little Tony, Little Tony.
And I'm also performing every week. I perform an Italian song
or two.
Or I don't want to go to the well too many times. I'll perform maybe two R&B songs, an Italian song, something invariably from All Is Forgiven, and as the Human Torch, who enters my body and allows me to, and uses my body as a vessel to bring empathy and light to everyone out there. And I think it's a good thing too. You know, maybe we should do this. Maybe we could do this for a bunch of other albums too. This was fun.
Sure.
I like going through records, but
We can do it for records too.
Yeah. Well, you know, but at the same time, you know, we're not actually listening to the songs when we go away. We just stick the songs in, or we actually.
Oh, but some songs we don't have to listen to be able to speak well about them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, that's it for this one. Thank you. This is Serene Dominic.
I'm Steve Aceta.
And thank you for joining us. And we have a target date of September 14th for the first episode of Dark Lullaby. Don't hold me to it. We might push it up further, but that's the hope anyway. And in the meantime, we'll probably be doing some bonus podcasts just to keep you
entertained and informed. Yeah.
Entertained and informed. All things Serene Dominic, Onus Records, Human Torch, Steve Aceta. And Steve is working on, like I said before, the Dark Lullaby incidental music, which will be a CD of its own. I don't know. Is it going to be with the Sunny Slope Strings?
Yeah, we have the Sunny Slope Strings. And
yeah, that'll be great. All right, so take care, everybody, and stay tuned.
Ciao.
Oh, hey, this is Serene Dominic again, talking from the future, from that conversation. I forgot to mention that we have a couple of bonus songs at the end of the podcast. We didn't note any of those. The first one appears at the end of episode 4 is Testosterone, which is actually a San Jacinto prison band song that we kind of worked into the narrative of the podcast. That was our main character Vic was saying that he had an old disco band or whatever, and we used that recording at the end of episode 4. Then at the end of episode 5, there's Someone for Everyone, which was a beloved record of Vic's by an old Italian singer named Tommy Corsetta. We kind of modeled it after kind of Jimmy Roselli type of singer. Jimmy Roselli gets name checked in Mars Park Boys, but anyway, we wanted to do a song that was like Someone, you know, like an Italian American singer. Steve worked like a pig on that song too, because I don't know, we were trying to make it as cheesy as possible, and we also had a soprano on that one. And that's now used as the closing theme for the Human Torch Floor Show, which you can see, as we said earlier, live cast from Facebook every Thursday at 8:30 Mountain Standard Time. Anyway, that's Someone for Everyone. That's episode 5, I think. It was kind of like the Monkees, when their shows were like 5 minutes short or something, they would interview them or something. So these bonus songs were a cool way of sharing some extra material. On the end of, there's a bonus song at the end of episode 6, which is Out of the Attic, which was another version of Up in the Attic that would was kind of different. But anyway, we just figured we'd feature that. Not much else to say about it. I think that song about Out of the Attic might have been written before Up in the Attic. So who can say? Anyway, I think that's it for the bonus songs. Let's see. Do we have any bonus songs at the end of episode 7? No. Okay. So that's pretty much it. No outtakes, no anything else. I appreciate your attention and your love. So hope to bring some more episodic music podcasts to you and some bonus podcasts. Okay, see ya.